time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 29th of June 2013. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Oceanview Road, Oneroa. On Saturday the 29th of June, David Basham talked to Bella and Rosie from SAS Dance Group. He previewed an upcoming Earthship workshop. He talked to Citizens Advice Bureau Manager Lamond Brown and chatted with health consultant Helen Alscott.
Okay, well, I've got Bella and Rosie in the studio from the SAS. S-A-S-S. Where did the name come from?
Oh, it originally came from because my mother was teaching the dancing before us, Sally Ann Stones.
Yeah, I'll just have to give you some instructions. Pull the microphone. You can pull the microphone. That's it, and you can get right up close to it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So it originally came from Sally Ann Stones, and then we then developed it into SAS. So and then we actually constantly use that throughout our teaching, so we tell them use your SAS throughout your dance.
Oh, all right, that's great. So when did that develop?
We started up SAS. It was last year in February, I think. We started with the school term, and we haven't really stopped since.
Right, and when I was down receiving a grant for the radio station, you were there, Bella, getting one for the dance company.
Yes, we applied for it to help us with funding for our show, our current show, Watercolour. It just helps us with the costumes and the hall hire, and New Hope has been so helpful for us. They helped us last year as well with our last show, Circus.
Oh, that's amazing. So what's the show about?
Watercolour is kind of more of a dance work. Last year we did Welcome to the Circus, and that was a themed show, so we themed our show around the circus and all of the dancers, etc. But this is more of a, we've kind of based it on more of a company work, so it's just a range of dance styles being exhibited. And we also have like a photo exhibition in the foyer before the show starts with all of our students and their dancing and... Yeah.
And who took the photographs?
Rosie took most of the photos, and I took some as well. Yeah, they turned out really well. We're really happy with them.
Oh, great. So, and this is students.
Yeah.
That you've got. Well, so, how many students in the show?
Including ourselves and our two other best friends who are in our own group, SS Dancers. We have 36, I think it is.
Yeah, but that's also including our adult class as well.
Right. Yeah. And what is the age range from?
Seven.
Oh, yeah, we have
through
I think
to our
years.
Adult class. I don't know how old our is in our adult class, but yeah, it's a pretty big age range.
Yeah, so it goes from seven.
Yeah, yep. 7 years old.
Oh, that's great.
All up to our age, and then we have our adult class on
and
top
is
of
that classes you take four people every week?
Yes. Yep, they're weekly classes held down at Surfdale Hall.
Every Thursday.
Oh, right. So if someone's out there and their kid's really interesting to learn about dance, how do they get in contact with you guys?
We have an email, thesasdance@gmail.com, and also... Yeah, just our phone numbers.
Well, I think the email will
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll have lots of guys getting in touch saying, I want to learn to dance. I have a suspicion. I'm old, but I'm not silly. So that's... Give that email again.
The SAS Dance. So thesasdance@gmail.com.
Right, that's not too hard to remember.
No.
And that's a great idea. They can get in touch with you because there's lots of kids that really want to. I mean, you see them get all dressed up. I'm a great fan of ballet. I have been
Perfect.
Since I was little. And I go along often on my own.
Ditto.
And all the kids turn up, all the girls turn up in their little dresses and everything. And it's quite exciting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. The New Zealand Ballet Company's got Swan Lake on in August, and I must have seen Swan Lake 20 times.
Yes, I love the New Zealand Ballet Company.
So do I, but I'm not sure. I don't know about Swan Lake. I'll give you a little story about me and dance. Is that when I was young, and I would be about 15, I had to guard the ballet dancers that performed on Western Springs Lake on a pontoon, Swan Lake.
Oh,
and
wow.
I had to guard them. I had a dog. I was 15, and they get changed, and they don't care who's around. And I'm sort of, it was quite an experience, but I had to guard them. They sent me, a 15-year-old, to guard the ballet dance.
Wow.
And
amazing.
That was amazing. I saw Swan Lake every night for about 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
But I loved it. That's why I got the job, because I loved ballet so much. Nobody wanted to sit through it.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, once they start and everything, it'll be all right. And I went, no, I'll stay. And I loved it. But so I was like, their mascot, really, because in those days 15-year-olds were quite shy.
Yeah.
They're not like they are today. 15-year-old guys are very different. I was very shy. So so when can they get hold of tickets?
Okay, we're selling tickets for all of the shows at Island Design in Oniroa. And we are selling tickets for, we've just had our first show last night, and now we have a show today at 2 p.m., tonight at 7 p.m., and then tomorrow at 2 p.m., and we also have the following weekend.
That's the 5th and 6th.
Yeah.
And that's on, that means it's 7 p.m. on the 5th.
Yeah.
And the 2nd and the 2 p.m. and 7th on, and 7 p.m. on the 6th of July.
Yeah, yes. That's right.
And the tickets are a really good price, $15 for adults and $8 for children up to the age of 16.
Yes.
Oh, in those days I would have got in for $8.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know what $8 was worth. And that probably would have been, you'd have been surprised, it probably would have been about 10 shillings. When you say, what shillings? So that's great. So how did the first night go?
Oh, it was a really good turnout for our first show of the production.
I found that it went really well for the opening night. There were a couple of hiccups with the music and the curtains, but other than that, it was...
As expected.
Yeah. Yes, other than that, it was really... We were really proud of all our students.
Waiheke, we had an incredible audience.
Waiheke audience are very forgiving.
Yes,
and honestly, very. Often the audience doesn't really notice things.
Yeah, and I'd say that... Yeah, I'd say Rosie and I are more... We were more alert and more noticing everything that was going wrong backstage, but... To be honest, it happened really well, and everything was ran quite smoothly.
Because no one knows how it's to go.
Yeah.
So
if
something gets missed
thankfully.
Out, people don't know. It's like being on the radio. I used to go home and beat myself up, but half the time people go, no, I never heard that.
Same thing.
I don't do this program very often, and the other time I was doing it, I kept on hearing the sound, and I was really worried that something was going on, but nobody else could hear it. I can't imagine what I can hear. But sometimes out in that car park, you can pick up things.
Yeah.
And I was picking up through the headphones something, but nobody else heard it, so, you know.
You're just sensitive to your own craft, I guess.
I was worried about it. Okay, so you live in town, Rosie. You come over for all the lessons?
Yeah, for all the Thursday classes.
Oh, that's dedicated. that really is. And what kind of things are you doing for yourselves in the creative world outside the dancing? Because I know Rosie goes to AUT for...
Rosie.
No, Bella, sorry. Bella, yeah. I point at one and use the wrong name. But you see, the audience can't see that.
Yeah.
So, Bella, you're at AUT?
No, I'm at Unitech.
Unitech, okay.
Yep. Rosie's at AUT.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
And you're doing
I'm doing interior design.
Right, now I'm pointing at Bella.
Yes.
And Rosie, you're
communications.
Doing... Communications.
Yes.
Why not studying dance?
We both thought about it very seriously for a while, and I guess it's kind of still on the cards for possibilities. But yeah, we're still doing dance without the degree, I guess, and we're still doing what we love.
I think I kind of wanted to keep dance as something I loved rather as something I study every day, and it's something that I can come home to and... I don't know. I just don't want to ruin that feeling.
Yeah, and it's good to have that feeling. If it becomes a chore, then it stops being fun, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and you've always got something, I mean, nothing about your talent, but it doesn't matter how talented you are. It's hard to earn a living from dance.
Oh, of course.
You've got something,
extremely
both of you
competitive.
Have got things that'll fit in nicely around
backup
us.
Plans.
but interior decorating, it's got that creative thing about it, and it fits. It could fit.
Yeah.
In. Communications. Yeah. You know, there's all sorts of good things in that, especially when you've got your own dance company. Communication is important, don't you? Yeah. So I think that's really great. So we've got it set up for this weekend and next weekend.
Yep, that's correct.
And you feel really good about Friday's show. So that's a good start.
Yes.
What's the one thing you want to tell them for this afternoon show? Tell your pupils from last night.
Tell our pupils?
Yes. What are you going to tell them from last night?
We're just beyond proud of all of our students. Yeah, we couldn't have asked for a better first show, really. A better opening.
That's
night.
So good for them to hear, you know. It really is. Because I was listening to a therapist on the radio when I was coming here, and he was saying that a generation like my generation, we were brought up with criticism.
Yeah. And, yeah, well, we've been pretty harsh on our students lately, but
the last week, because I mean, we've been in the artworks every day, well, Rosie and I, from 8 o'clock through till 10 p.m. and they arrive when they finish school, and they come, and me and Rosie generally pretty tired by the time they arrive, and I guess because we were working towards our first show, we were pretty harsh on them, but after our first performance, I cannot believe how well they did. So
That's great. But it is not lovely to hear that praise, because, you know, they're especially the young ones.
Yes.
Because they're really trying hard, and their mums are out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots
how
of
do you
parents
with
watching.
The mums? You won't say anything about that.
Oh, no, we love our parents.
Yes, all the parents are amazing.
Especially our class ones, our little kids, our 7-year-olds. Yeah. All of their parents are just beyond supportive. They're amazing. Yeah.
It is fun, because I have a friend who used to have a dance company like yours in the city. And when she had her annual one, but she had younger than 7.
Yeah.
It's like trying to put worms in a straight line.
It's really, really challenging.
I used to go there and sell cordial and coffee and biscuits at half time.
Even
the mothers, they were really amazing.
The mothers
so
are
much effort into
outstanding.
It.
They are. Dad's mums.
Our class ones, our 7-year-olds are our hardest class to teach, but they are significantly. I don't know, I can't even explain how they are. Each individually, they are amazing.
They're our most loving class as well.
They really want to do it,
everything.
Don't they?
Yes.
They really want to do it. And they try, you know, and some have got different ranges of talent, and but it's lovely to watch them.
Yes.
Especially the one that gets left at the end of the line and forgets to go off.
We have one cute factor, that's for sure.
We have one student who, on stage, even while performing, yells, "Line!" Like, tells them all where to go.
So you've got the bossy one.
Yeah, we do. We have a character of every class.
That's great. So you are, look, listeners, these two have been beaming ever since they came in, and they've really beamed ever since they've come behind the microphone. And you guys would be great at radio. You're so good at it.
Thank you.
Because a lot of people get, you know, their eyes go like possums in the headlights when they get behind that. But you haven't. You haven't been fazed by anything. That's great. Well, thank you for coming in.
Thank you. All the very
best for your show this afternoon. And so you're going straight to Artworks?
We've been down there this morning.
What kind of things do you have to do so early?
Cleaning, printing programs, and getting tickets, and
checking the sound system,
all of that.
Because there's just you two?
Yeah, but we also have, like I was saying before, SS dancers, the Sally Ann Stones dancers, are us and two others, Summer and Cara, and they are constantly helping out and there with us.
I see that Wendy Kendall dancers are referred to.
Yes, yeah. Wendy Kendall has, she has her own dance group who are performing a dance in the matinee shows of this weekend. So that's just this afternoon show and tomorrow's afternoon show.
Yeah, they're also the 7-year-olds. They're all from Tūrahi and Waikī Primary. So so they're only in the matinee shows because the evening shows are a bit late.
Yeah.
Right.
Super
well,
cute.
If there are, I live near the primary school on Seaview Road.
Yeah.
And if the enthusiasm and the amount of noise when they do things outside, then you think, they'll be amazing.
Yes,
they can.
They're incredible.
They were doing something yesterday, and I heard them at lunchtime, and they were just making a real noise.
Yeah, we love
that.
That
used to be something. Us.
Yeah, we went to that school, and that school was amazing.
Yeah, they are. And they also do, they've got a haka they do. Have you ever heard them do that?
No, I haven't.
Really?
I haven't heard so,
no. It's amazing. They really do make a racket.
Good. I'm proud.
And it comes right up the valley. It's just incredible. Oh, that's great. So there's quite a range for people and families, and grandmas come along, I suppose, and look at their kids.
Yes, totally.
Yeah,
welcome to everyone.
Oh, that's
all
brilliant.
Ages.
Well, thank you very, very much for coming in, and all the very, very best.
You're welcome.
And,
thank you.
And people can get the tickets at
Island Design Island, in Onirua.
Whereabouts is Island Design in Onirua?
It's next to Escapade and the new little coffee shop that.
Yeah, oh, the new coffee shop which sponsors
and
the show.
Yeah, and this, their sign is a big mosaic sign that says Island.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, it's Island.
It's pretty easy
right.
to find.
Oh, you used a bigger name. Island, I know Island well because I get some of my. Putumayo music from them.
And
they've been very generous to me on my jazz show. They've given me CDs to give away and stuff.
Yes.
So you go into Island and
purchase your tickets from the counter.
Can be there. So today it's 2 o'clock and
7 p.m.
And tomorrow
2 p.m.
Sunday,
2 p.m.
Yeah, not too many. Yeah, 7's a bit late for
a Sunday night.
Exactly. Next day. And you guys would be exhausted by then anyway.
Totally.
Oh, well, that's really great. Thank you very, very, very much. Wakey Radio. One of the people I'd hoped I could have in the studio today was Liz, but unfortunately Liz has had to go to the city. But Liz and her partner are two very eco-aware couple, and they plan to build a 3-bedroom home on Waiheke for their family of 4 to be the first Earthship home in New Zealand, and that's with the help of the world-renowned sustainability architect Mike Reynolds. Now Mike is going to be available on Waiheke at 1 o'clock on the 7th of July, which is next weekend, next Sunday, and he's showing a film called New Solutions, and this is all about how you make a eco-friendly house. And Liz Ross and Dana Derwin are going to be there as well. And an Earthship home is built from tires, bottles, cans and other recycled materials. And Mike Reynolds is the founder of Earthship Biotecture, yep, that's right, and is subject of a documentary called The Garbage Warrior. He's based in New Mexico, where he has the academy. Liz and Dana met Mike at a 3-day workshop 6 months ago in Christchurch, where he built a small 10-meter-squared demonstration earthship. And they got really excited about it, so they have 2 sections in Trigg Road, and they're bringing over Mike to do the planning, give seminars and talk about the project. So it's a real hands-on thing as well, as a real example of what it's going to be like. So that's Earthship, and it's on at Artworks July 7th at 1 o'clock, the New Solutions film. And if you want to get in touch with them and find out more, you can go to earthship.co.nz and you will find out a lot more. We have Lomond Brown from the CAB. I think she is the manager. Is that correct?
That's right.
Right. Can you just tell us a little bit about what this, I mean, most people sort of got an idea what Citizens Advice Bureau is about, but be good if you just outline some for us.
Okay, well, we're very much a community organisation. We're part of a network of about 10 CABs in Auckland, called CABAC as a group. We have bureau all over New Zealand, all the towns in New Zealand just about, and they nearly about 100 Bureau and all. And they're all funded by local bodies or grants or whatever.
And how long's one been on Waiheke?
We have been on Waiheke for nearly 20 years now.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah. I'm not saying I'm old, but I remember when that was the post office.
Yes.
And then it was the library.
Well, we started off underneath the Red Cross building at one stage. That was where we started off. And then we the council allowed us to have that building. It's a council building we're in. It's quite one of the old historic buildings on the island too. I've been a manager since 1995, so that's quite a while.
Oh, that's great. The continuity, it's important it's important for a volunteer organisation to have that continuity goes along.
Yes.
Because I can remember when the post office was there, and that was the only little bit of tar seal.
That's right.
That was just a little bit of Oniroa was tar sealed, and that was all I remember as a kid. So the CAB provides advice to people?
Advice, information, advocacy is a big thing. You know, working for helping people who can't help themselves or wish somebody to come and be a support person for them. Right. It could be in the courts, it could be anywhere.
And you will arrange for someone to go with them?
We certainly do, yes.
Because advocacy is a very big thing these days.
It certainly is.
Previously, I work in mental health, as most of the people know, and advocacy has been very important in that. To have somebody who's there beside you, may not even say anything, but there as a support. And that's something you can do. I saw in the doctor's surgery the other day.
Yes.
If you wanted someone to be with you, you could have someone at your appointment. And it could be a staff member there.
Certainly.
Just somebody else. So advocacy is very important. So you go to courts?
We go to courts. We go to every organisation. It could be ACC, Auckland Accidental. It could be for any reason, whatever.
Gosh, that's a lot for volunteers to do.
Well, that's right. We've not all the volunteers will do that, but we have specialist advocacy specially trained.
Yeah, because it needs
it's
a special
very
type
special
of
training. Yes, yeah,
it needs a special type
it
of
is,
person
and
too.
Those people have contacts in a lot of these organisations that they can. Yeah, legal matters is another big one for us.
Right. Yeah, because people are a bit scared to go off to a lawyer because they're worried about money.
That's right. There's a lot of things you can do yourself.
Yeah, and they just don't. Don't know that.
I mean, you've got the disputes tribunal for all sorts of disputes, that type of thing. You can do yourself.
And knowledge is power. I mean, I know it's said a lot, but
we do want to empower people to do it themselves. Or give them the information, or if they feel they can't do it, or they're too scared to do it, fine. And this is all age groups that we deal with.
So how many volunteers have you got?
We have...
Currently?
We have about 14 or 15 at the moment. We certainly need some more to cover our shifts.
Yeah, and that's where I saw you your ad... In the Gulf News, and you're actually actively looking for volunteers
now. We certainly are, and they can just come in and get information initially, and then our CABAC office in the city will give them all the information and take care of the training. And initially they can come in and observe with us before they do their training. And the training is being revised at the moment, and maybe it will be a lot of bureau-based things in the future, but at present it involves visits to town for our training.
Right, so
as a group.
Right, yeah. And is that paid for?
And we will help them with any cost.
Oh, that's great. So what kind of things would they be trained in?
Okay, anything to do with housing, tenancy. We have a lot of course we have a lot of rental houses on the island. There's a lot of rental houses, so disputes happen there with landlords, and landlords have disputes with tenants, so it works both ways, and quite often we deal with both. So everything's very confidential with us. Also, any consumer matters, things that they might buy, any services on the island that they're not happy with. We're pretty okay with those at the moment. We don't have a lot of trouble with that. Neighbourhood disputes, which crop up from time to time, fences and trees and all those sort of things, we're pretty good at dealing with those. Anything, legal matters, a lot of legal things, working with government departments, and we have huge database that covers all that, just for information for people, and we can print out and give them copies of anything that they might deal with.
Because the information's there, but you've got to have access to a computer. And
well,
I mean, it seems like people think everyone's got a computer, but I know that's not true.
No, that's the point. Mm. A lot of people don't have computers, and people assume they have, but they don't.
And also, they're a bit tricky to use if you're not used to it.
Certainly. We do have a public computer that people can use.
Really?
Although we have our own other computers. Mm. But, I mean, people come in for us to look for funding for their organisations. All sorts of ideas, all sorts of things.
And you were saying that CAB's based on funding. Do you have to do your funding on Waiheke, or is that done centrally in the city?
We are funded as a bulk lot of the Auckland bureaus through Auckland City.
Oh, right.
Anything extra, yes, we've got to look for funding for.
You look it's for funding fairly, locally.
We're very grateful for their support. From Auckland. Mm. It's streamlined, and, you know, we're always looking for a fairly tight budget.
No, I know what that's like.
Yes.
The organisation I manage is funded by the Ministry of Health, but doesn't mean there's a fortune.
No.
And we have to find things.
That's right. Yeah. That's the same as a lot of organisations. We're not struggling at the moment, but we could be.
It's still tight, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So when is the training?
The next training is coming up in August.
Right. So they can go in, meet with you guys, have a chat?
I think so, yes. I can give them a background, and then they can say, well, this is for me, this is not for me, you know.
And do you find a range of people, or are they mostly retired people?
We do have some very good retired people. We've got some long-term volunteers. At the moment, at present, we've had a few people retire, you know, through ill health, really, or they're moving somewhere else. So that leaves a gap, and we have, ideally, we need about 20, 22 people. We have two shifts a day when we're open from 9 to 3, and we have a 9 to morning shift and an afternoon one. So that's sort of only about 3 hours.
And so what kind of commitment would somebody have to make?
Well, they make a commitment to do further training that might be required. We have monthly or bi-monthly trainings in-house.
Yeah. And how often do they have to do a shift?
Once a week.
Once a week for 3 hours.
That's right.
Okay. So that's good for people to know.
But it certainly is.
I do know that New Zealand would just about grind to a halt if it wasn't for the volunteers in New Zealand.
Oh, for sure. That's right. Yeah. I mean, look at Waiheke.
Yeah, there's a lot of volunteers.
Yes.
And I know a chap who retired, and he said he's never been busier in his life.
That's right.
He's never having more fun.
Well, that's it.
It's like 3 hours once a week.
That's right.
For your organisation, and it's helping someone, and it's not selling anything, and it's not a commercial thing, and it's helping, and I think that gives people. And there's a lot of people who have retired. It doesn't mean their brains or their knowledge is slowed down.
No, they've got a lifelong experience, which is very valuable. But really, it is important that they have good computer skills, or we can teach them.
Yeah. A lot of older people. Gosh, I'm getting on for 70 myself, so yeah. I can sort of say that. But it's surprising with the senior net and all those kind of things that some older people have got very good skills.
That's right. And to be able to access our databases and things like that, it's important.
Yeah, well, that's great.
We do have some one-finger typists. It's not a problem.
They people survive.
As long as they can know how to access the things that we need.
Yeah, and that's the good thing for people to know. They don't have to know it in their head.
They
can go to, and they're taught where to go.
That's
and
for
I
sure.
suppose the real test is knowing where to find it.
That's right.
Not necessarily knowing all
that's
of it.
That's right, and they can have a lot of training. I do a lot of that, and we've got other people who can help with that as well. We have a local database, we have a website, national website, people can look at. So it's pretty comprehensive.
Must have been interesting the days before the computers came.
Yes, we had to write things down and look at a sort of a card system, you know, which was a bit scrappy.
Yeah, but that's what was available at that time.
That's what was there,
But everyone was in that position, so it was a bit of a level playing field,
exactly.
Wasn't it?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, and you've been manager there for a while.
Since 1995.
That's
but
great.
I was a volunteer before that.
Before
so,
that?
Yeah.
So you are obviously an example of how enjoyable it can be.
Well, yes, I used to be on the... We did have a management committee at that stage, and... Yeah, I used to be on the management committee. Mm.
So you obviously enjoy it.
I do. I love it.
What's the thing you gain most from it?
Oh, it's just working with people and, you know, mainly the community and helping them. I think that's important.
And one thing you did mention earlier and I think is very important because Waiheke's a small place, that the confidentiality is something that you hold
dear. Oh, for sure. We have to be very careful on Waiheke.
Right. And you have to be careful
because
at all, don't you?
Well, you know that everybody knows everybody else and things get around very quickly.
Yeah.
Whether they're right or wrong.
Yes, and often they get round hand and they're usually wrong. Oh, I'm glad you came in. That's great. So someone can pop in, have a chat
for
with you guys Monday to Friday, 9 till 3.
We're open on Saturday mornings as well.
Oh, gosh. That's handy for people at work.
It is. Well, that's why we stay open on a Saturday.
And people at commute.
We have a very comprehensive JP service as well.
Oh, that's always very handy because people go, I want a JP for signing
not
things.
Not easy up in Central Onira, I think. Yeah, and that's what I do. And also, I'm a JP. And also, another volunteer when she's in too. So
well, that's always handy because people often have to get documents certified by a JP.
It's amazing how many people need the services of a JP.
Oh, that's great.
Apart from if I'm not there, there's a lot of other JPs on the island and we have contacts for those.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for coming in.
It's all right. It's a pleasure.
As well as announcing about the volunteers, it's very good for people to get a feel of it because there's no restriction on who can come and see you.
No.
I mean, it's not based upon income or anything.
No.
It's just based on need.
And we get the visitors coming in as well.
Really?
Who are totally lost, yes.
Oh, right. So you do a few
We do have some local information for people.
Oh, that's handy.
Just basic, but, you know, helping them out.
But you're in a good spot.
We are. Well, that's we're so accessible where we are.
And I think a lot of people know your logo and things.
That's right.
Something where you do go to.
Yes.
Yeah, I know I worked for a mediation service, community volunteer mediation service, and it was actually we used to do our training in the CAB building next to the town hall. I don't know if that's still there now, but
no,
it was in those days.
That's gone for the theatre that they...
Oh, was that the Q Theatre they've
Q
got
theatre,
there?
But they're in the Central Library now.
Oh, right. Oh, that's even
upstairs
handy.
Upstairs in
good.
The Central Library,
yeah. Oh, that's
so they're
great.
Quite busy there with students and things.
Yes. Students would be foreign students would be a major.
Oh, a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and that would give a different slant to what have to learn and what kind of things you would. What kind of things do you think are the major things on Waiheke?
Tenancy, housing type of issues, a lot of legal stuff. Could be anything.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because people are scared, aren't they, to front up to a lawyer straight off because they don't know how much money that they're going to...
We certainly have access to a free limited legal service from the local lawyers who are very good.
Really?
But most of the time we can solve the issues ourselves.
Yeah, I think for the person it can be just overwhelming, can't it?
Oh, yes.
And then when someone comes in with an outside look... And experience, you can point them in the right direction. But it sounds like it would be a real challenge to learn, and you'd be really contributing.
Oh, it's really interesting, and you just don't know who's going to walk in the door with what, you know.
And
so
some
you have
people,
to be alert.
And some people who have retired have sort of knowledge of certain areas, and they probably don't realise that their previous work might be quite valuable.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you know, you can work in all sorts of different places. Well, I mean, I used to work for a trustee company, and there's all sorts of stuff in there that I know that one day when I finally stop full-time work, if I retire, and I don't like the sound of that, actually.
If somebody wants to, for example, set up an incorporated society, how do I go about it? Yep. Well, we can help that.
That's very handy because people ask me often because that's the kind of work
I
used
to do. Or a charitable trust for that matter.
Excellent.
We've got tons of information that they can take away with them.
That's great.
And that may be all people want.
Yeah, they just need to be pointed in the right direction. And to know what they're going to look at is going to be the real answer.
And if there's options, they can have options as well.
Well, that's great. So, people can pop in, as we said, in Oniroa. Everyone knows where the building is.
No, very
it's
welcome.
It's in a very prominent place.
Yes.
And... The training's in August, so they really do need to start going in there and finding out whether that's something that would suit them.
We like them to observe, you know, before.
Yeah, just to see what's going on. Okay, well, thank you very, very much for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
That's absolutely great. I found that really interesting because it's just good to be able to keep the brain working and contribute.
Mm. It is interesting.
Yeah, thank you. That was really great.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
Well, that was Ian Simpson, recorded live in the library. Well, my next guest has arrived, having run up the road, and she's here. And it's Helen Elscott, and she is, of course, a medical herbalist.
Correct.
I've got it right. And it's like old times.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm really fine. How are you?
Awesome. Yeah, a bit frosty out there today.
I poured you a glass of water. I thought you might need it after you've run up the hill.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you can't get around the library anymore up here.
That's
right. You've got to go all the way around.
That's right. All the way around. There's no shortcuts anymore at Artworks. So, Helen, I got you in today to talk about the courses that you're going to be running shortly.
Yes. We're holding our herbal workshops again at the end of this month, so the 27th and the 28th, which is a Saturday and a Sunday. And the herbal workshops, they're just really good fun, very relaxed. So what we do is we do a little bit of a weed walk, which is on the island. People raise their eyebrows when we talk about going on a weed walk. But what we're looking for are plants that grow around us on the island that we can actually use medicinally. And they might actually be weeds that grow in your garden. They have medicinal value as well. So... we go around and identify plants in the wild and then we bring them back and we make a range of products that you can do at home it doesn't detract from, you still need to have a GP on the island, but to keep your family healthy and safe and maybe reduce the number of visits you see at your GP, then we make up some herbal tonics, herbal syrups, which are really great for kids, herbal creams, and also facial serums, and just give people, you know, the tools in which to use the plants that grow around us, such as kawakawa, you know, how you use them and you know, how you make them into something that you can take on a daily basis.
I found kawakawa growing at my place after you described it to me.
It grows all around the island. Kawakawa is the, it likes an undergrowth, so it likes to be shaded by other plants. It's got a heart-shaped leaf, and you probably recognize it by the number of holes it has in its leaf.
Yeah, that was exactly how I did it, and it was right on the corner of my house.
Yeah, yeah. It does. It grows
underneath all, something else.
Yeah, it grows all around the island. Once you know what kawakawa is can, or how it should be used, so it's really good for digestive complaints. Historically, it's been used for arthritis. You can dry it and you can put it into your soups and stews. It's one of its common names is bush pepper. It's got a very peppery taste. If you chew up, if you crush a leaf and chew it, it will make your tongue go numb for a few minutes. It's a cousin to the kava plant, which is a ceremonial drink in the islands. But both of those plants are also related to the black pepper family. So when it does come into fruit, it has a tiny little stalk of berries on it. You can eat those, spit out the seeds. Those seeds you can dry and use in your black pepper grinder at home.
Right. Yep. It is peppery because I did what you said and I recognised it and it had little holes in it.
Yeah.
I knew it was that one.
Yeah.
And I tried it and it does make your tongue go numb.
Yes.
And in fact, I think you got me eating a piece also in the studio one day because I remember my tongue being numb, which is a very, not usually what I have.
Yes. No, it's brilliant too. If you have a toothache an ulcer on your tongue or something that's painful, you can actually chew that and it will relieve it for a period of time, not that long, but it's really good as a digestive tonic. And what I teach in the course is how to use kawakawa, and I actually combine it with ginger and peppermint as well, and you can make it as a herbal tonic in a vinegar form, so it's really good for digestion. And it's just the most amazing plant. It's food, it's medicine, and it's free because it grows around us, so you just have to know how to use it.
And I think that's the really great thing is why I got you in today, is because it is free and there are things out there and we are growing them and we just don't know what they are. And it gets a bit scary when people think, oh, you can go out and just pick it anywhere, but you need to know what it is, and you will teach people what to look for.
Yeah, well, there's not too many things that will kill you in New Zealand, but you want to be sure that you're picking the correct plant. I mean, a lot of plants in New Zealand will either make you go to the toilet or stop you going to the toilet. So whatever condition you have, you want to make sure it's the right one because you don't want to amplify what is happening to you. Knowing, identifying plants is really important. Sometimes also knowing the Latin name for a plant. So if you were using thyme, we do a thyme and lemon cough syrup, which is really great because kids, herbal medicine, let's face it, doesn't taste too pleasant. So getting herbs down a kid's throat, sometimes if you make it into a syrup form, it's a little bit easier. What do they say? Spoonful of
sugar?
Yeah.
Makes the medicine go down.
Yeah, well, we won't sing that. But
you mean I shouldn't sing?
That's no, what I you shouldn't mean. Sing. I've been told. So when you're using thyme, and you might have that growing in your garden as a culinary herb, when you're using herbs in a medicinal form, you want to be sure that you're getting the correct medicinal plant. So there's a lot of variations of thyme, just like there is lavender as well. The medicinal form of thyme is Thymus vulgaris. So you go back to the Latin name to make sure you're getting the correct plant. And Jeff at Placemakers can help you out with sourcing some of those plants as well. But if you need the Latin name, just contact me through the website, herbalhealthwaiheke.co.nz. But thyme is brilliant. It's antibacterial. It helps soothe the throat. And it's brilliant in cooking, especially in winter dishes like stocks and stews and soups.
And a lot of people don't know that Jeff down at Placemakers in the garden centre there, he's a fund of knowledge.
Yes.
And he's great to be able to consult.
Yeah. We are growing our own veggies, we're raising chickens, we're getting back to, you know, the way life used to be, which I think is a brilliant thing. So growing herbs is really important too. And the things that grow around us, Waiheke is the Isle of Wine and olives, but olive leaf, and everyone knows about olive leaf extract for the immune system. Well, it grows all around us. Olive leaf is the leaf of an olive tree. Get the right one and you can have an immune tonic. You need to know how to make that into a tincture. But also, a lot of people don't know that olive leaf actually lowers blood pressure as well. So in cases of low blood pressure, you shouldn't be using olive leaf as your immune tonic. So there's just little tricks of the trade, and the workshops give you lots of information. You can ask lots of questions, and it's a really good fun course.
And I think when I popped in to see you on Thursday, you had a notice about a bath, something or other that you make, and the course is a bath bomb or bath fizz or something?
A fizzy bath bomb.
Ah, that's a fizzy bath bomb.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm actually doing those as part of a workshop that's going to be held for children around the island, and Zebazi Creative and Kirsten Simmons is holding a whole range of workshops. So she's gathering a whole bunch of artists, whether it be myself as a medical herbalist, photographers, singers, dancers, and creating a whole range of workshops for children to do. And I'll be creating fizzy bath bombs. And I know that on the island, I don't have a bath, do you?
No.
I have a shower.
Yeah. Well, I have it once a month, whether I need it or not, yeah.
What, a shower or
yes,
a bath?
Yes, a shower.
Oh. Okay.
That stopped you.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll just get my train of thought back again. Fizzy bath bombs. I mean, yes, a lot of us don't have baths on the island, but you can use them in a foot bath or a hand bath or a soak. And it's really, really simple. It's ingredients that you can find at the supermarket. You put it together with some essential oils and some herbs, and it gives off, as soon as you put it in the bath, the reaction is it creates all this, this bubbling action, and the smell that comes off it is incredible. You could even just put it into a bowl of water while you're sitting watching the television, and it's like aromatherapy.
The kids just love that.
And they get into it. Yeah, we shape them into different shapes, and you can get little molds, like your chocolate molds, so you can make a seashell shape or a heart shape or a little round ball. So, yeah, the kids are going to love it. And, I love teaching kids because they're so open to things like
and
that.
And this won't be the first time you've taught kids. I think you did it before, didn't you, with Tanya Bett? You do storytelling?
Yeah, we did storytelling down at Whakanifa with the kids, and we did Princess Nikau, and we told the story about all the Nikau trees that live around there and the cabbage trees as well. And and they're really into learning, especially in the outdoors, and going on weed walks, because every plant has a story, and you can see faces in the plants, like with the kawakawa. It's a heart-shaped leaf, and with the kids I tell the story about the looper caterpillar, which lives on the kawakawa leaf, and he makes all those holes. So and I think adults really like that as well, You have stories about plants, and we're losing that connection to the plant world. And and like I say, we all need our GPs and we all need pharmaceutical medicine from time to time. But on a day-to-day basis, if you're having a cup of tea, why not think about a herbal cup of tea that you can gather yourself and make, knowing that it has medicinal value. And that could actually, yeah, lessen the need for GPs.
Just looking after yourself in the winter, because it's and the last couple of days, not today, but the last few days, have been quite cold and quite dark and dull and a bit miserable.
Well, you know, we've got through to we're kind of on the upturn now from the solstice going into hopefully days will be getting longer, but it will take a long time to get there. And and in the meantime too, we're going to have storms, and you know, it's summer's on its way, but it's a long way away. And I think that a lot of people there are a lot of colds going around the island at the moment, so sniffly noses, sore throats. So if you've got something growing in your garden that you're using as a culinary herb, look at it from the other direction in a medicinal herb. So thyme and sage are brilliant to make into a hot tea for sore throats. You know, there's so many different things in your garden. Comfrey is brilliant for lots of minerals.
There's a lot of comfrey grown on the island. People don't realise. You taught me. I didn't know there was so much of it.
It's a very old school herb. A lot of people will not necessarily go and plant it in their gardens, but I like it because you don't have to look after it. It just looks after itself. And then when it gets too big, you harvest it and you crush it up, you put it in your compost, and it'll accelerate your composting system. Its old school name, or its common name, is knit bone. So it really helps with broken bones. Bones or any fractures and things like that, so you can use it in that way. Comfrey root, if you really get into making up your own tinctures, and coming onto the workshop, we'll teach you how to do that. The root of the comfrey plant in a tincture form is really good for any kind of stomach ulcers or peptic ulcers. It's very soothing, but it's a great plant and herb,
and it grows. It grows. I remember when I first came to Waiheke and got a garden, and there was stacks of it.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this blinking weed, and I was being no, don't touch it, don't touch it, don't touch
it. weeds have value. I mean, weed is. I don't like that name as a weed. I know it's meant as a species that's introduced to a country. It's not necessarily grown there, but. Dandelion leaf, dandelion root, cleavers is just about to spring up. It's dormant at the moment, but cleavers is that sticky herb that you'll notice that grows up fence lines, and when you put it on or when you brush past it, it'll stick onto your clothing. It's a great lymphatic herb. It's a great herb to have around you, and weeds can get out of control, like mint. If you have mint in your garden, it'll run out of control. So put it in pots or, you know, harvest it and use it. Lemon balm is brilliant as a tea.
I went home. See, it's all about me, like I usually say.
Yes.
I went home one day and found lemon balm way up in the bush. Mm. It'd be just growing there and used it. And I do plant my mint in a pot in the ground. That stops it from just going crazy.
So with your lemon balm and your mint, they're both the same family. So to identify them, every member of the mint family has a square stem. So if you pick it up and you roll the stem between your fingers, you'll feel that it's got four sides. You know it's a member of the mint family. Then you crush the leaves. Mint smells like mint. Lemon balm smells very citrusy. Yeah,
it's a beautiful smell, actually.
It's great. It's the essential oils in it. So you can dry it, because it's gone to flower about a month ago and has died down now. So to keep a supply all year round, you dry your herbs and then use it during the time it's not growing. Just like ginkgo. All the ginkgo trees around the island now, most of them have shed their leaves. So in the next 3, 4, 5 months, they'll come back into leaf again. In the meantime, all those leaves that fall on the ground, collect them, dry them, use them as tea or make a tincture, make a syrup, make a cream out of them. So you have these things all year round.
Oh, great. So when is this course again?
It's the 27th and the 28th of July, which is a Saturday and then a Sunday. So the first workshop will be the Herbal Workshop and Weed Walk. So it's at Palm Beach. So we're going to be walking around Palm Beach and identifying plants, gathering some, and we'll make, as I said, a herbal tincture, a herbal syrup, a herbal cream, and also a facial serum to keep your wrinkles at bay.
Ah, wrinkles. Yeah.
You don't have many.
Oh, I went into the local place and asked that they did facelifts, and they said they didn't have a jack big enough.
I call them laugh lines.
Oh, I see. Thank you. You're so kind.
But, you know, those products that you can get at the pharmacy, they're so expensive.
They're not cheap.
They're not. And I think you're basically paying for their marketing and the packaging as well, because we love to have nice shiny things around us. But when you know what's actually in that serum, it costs peanuts to make. So we learn how to do that using essential oils.
And that could be great for presents for people too. If you make something for someone, it's a lovely little gift.
Well, it's a good little intro into if you want to start making your own herbal range. Get the recipes and get the knowledge, and then you can kind of experiment at home, give them to friends and family for birthdays or Christmases. You know, hone your skills, and then it's a good way into learning how to make your own range of products.
And what's the one on the Sunday?
The Sunday is a natural cosmetics course. So we learn how to make a cream from scratch. So with no synthetic, it's just beeswax, shea butter, and some oil, and actually the recipe and how you make your own creams. We'll also be making a facial mask using clay, a lip balm, which is so easy. Kids love it as well. You can put some glitter in there for a glittery lip balm. The lip balm is so easy, and we'll be doing the fizzy bath bombs as well.
Oh, so that's great. So that's a lot of things to learn. Mm. So how can they get in touch with you to...
Well, actually, website, herbalhealthwaiheke.co.nz. We'll send you through to some information about the workshops. It'll also give you all the contact details. It'll also give you a link through to my blog, which I'm really not that good at keeping up to date with. But all of my articles that I write, I put onto my blog. So it's information that's there for people to read and use.
And you have an article every week in the marketplace?
In the Weekender.
On the Weekender.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, you're everywhere. I just forget.
Every week I have a health column, and which we share with the pharmacy and Sarah from Synergy as well. So that's every week in the Weekender. Every fortnight I have my a little bit of a larger, more explanatory health column in the Gulf News, who have just celebrated their 40th anniversary.
Yes, great.
Yeah, so congratulations to Liz and all
that
the team.
That was a great issue, that one.
Yeah, it looks brilliant. The whole paper looks so fresh and, they've had some changes.
And you see some photographs of a very young Liz, and you realise how long Liz has been doing this.
Yes. Yeah. Well, congratulations to her. Because
she's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming in. Now, the kids thing, how can people find out about that?
Well, they'll have to contact me through the website, and we're still trying to sort out dates for that, but it will be in the end of August, September. Kirsten has a website, and off the top of my head is Zebez, which is Zebez Creative. If you Google that, I believe she's on Facebook as well. The kids, it's going to be a brilliant series of workshops from lots of different people around the island. I think Alice Doig is going to be the photographer and introducing kids to photography. So more information is coming up, and she'll be publicising that. But the fizzy bath bombs is brilliant. And of course, you know, it's from children age 2 upwards. So there'll be a morning session for the real young kids. Parents can come along as well, so they'll learn it as well. The afternoon will be for a little bit older children. So, it's a great initiative.
And kids really love that kind of response from something, don't they? They love that sort of explosion and things.
It's
great.
I mean, it's brilliant, and we're going to be adding different things into it. You know, they can choose, you know, if they want to put some flowers into their bath bomb or essential oils. And, I just love to see their faces when they...
And I think nanas might get some presents out of that too, I think, because grandmothers often get presents like
I
that.
I think so.
Look out, granny, you're going to get a bath bomb. But I think that's really great. Well, thank you for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure. It's like old times.
It is like old times. And it's really great to have your knowledge and to know exactly what's going on. So thank you very much.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, a weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7pm and Thursdays at 12:30pm. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.